All right, so we are still in Luke chapter 6, and the last opportunity that I had to teach this class, we talked about the parable that Jesus gave about the tree and the good tree that produced good fruit and a bad tree that produced bad fruit. And right, we basically came to the conclusion that, right, if Jesus is living inside of us, we should be able to see him on the outside. And there's no such thing as someone who claims to be a Christian but does not produce good fruit. And I'd like to move on to this next block of teaching here in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. And it definitely adds to some of the things that we have previously discussed and builds upon them. Let me read this for us, beginning in verse 46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug down and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the streams broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." This is a very, very important passage, and it occurs, right? It's interesting to notice the location of this passage. It occurs at the end of this Sermon on the Plain, as it's been called, that Jesus has just given. And what he's saying is, all these things that I have been teaching you, all these things that I have been telling you, be very careful to listen to them and to not be deceived, but put them into practice. And right, the emphasis here is on hearing the Word of God and in putting it into practice and not deceiving ourselves. And right, in verse 46, it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you profess my name? Why do you give it reverence with your lips, but right, your heart is not honoring me?" And this is a great theme that we see throughout the entire Old Testament in the Bible, that man's heart naturally is constantly drifting away from God and turning away from hearing the Word of God and drifting towards worthless things. And we see this illustrated in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. And I'd like to read that for us. Let me turn there. Thought I had it marked, but so Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, I believe, is our text. And this speaks to the idea that, right, that people, we profess him with our mouths, but we need not to be deceived that and turn away from him. Yeah, I did have it marked right here. Jeremiah 2 and verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the foundation of living waters, and have hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that hold no water. And right, the Bible teaches us that God, He is our everything. He supplies our every need. He satisfies our every want and provides for us in every way. But yet, the heart of man throughout the Bible has strayed away from Him, has gone away from Him, and has sought out their own gods and has sought out their own help and provision for themselves that is outside of God. And look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And it says, the Bible tells us that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Right, so this is the same idea that we're seeing here in Luke, this warning that my people die for a lack of knowledge. There is a great importance and an urgency for us to make sure that we hear the words of God in order that we can put them into practice. And this has been my burden in studying this parable that we find in Luke, that we need to make sure that we lay the groundwork, that it is very important that we make sure that we are hearing the Word of God so that we will have the opportunity to obey it. And so, right, I'd like to look at this first. And, you know, we see again, Paul points this out in Romans, that this idea of this heart of man straying away from Him, that they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, but rather they turned away from Him, and He gave them over to these debased minds and all, but right, their heart was straying from Him. And now I would like to turn and look at what the Bible is teaching us here about the importance of the Word of God so that we might be encouraged to first hear it in order to obey it. I'd like to look at three passages, and these are going to help us to understand what the Word of God is, what our relationship is to be towards it, and how we should it should affect our daily lives. The first passage being in Proverbs chapter 6, 20 through 23. Proverbs chapter 6, 20 through 23. My son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your hearts always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. And right, in this particular context, this is here referring to the Word has the ability to keep us away from the adulterous woman and temptation and sin. But, right, notice the importance and the prominence that's given here to the Word of God. And let's also look at Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 23. This is also speaking about the Word of God. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 23. You shall therefore lay down these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment I have commanded you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all those nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. And the last passage regarding the Word of God, I'd like to look at Psalm 119. And I'll tell you where we're going once we get over there. So in Psalm 119, let's read 9 through 16 and then jump over and I'll read 33 through 40. So Psalm 119, and this is a great passage that has to do with the Word of God. So beginning in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And let me now read, jump over to verse 33 through 40. Teach me, O Lord, your way, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. So in just those three passages, we get quite an image there of the importance of the Word of God and what it was to those heroes and those characters which are within the Bible, and what God, what He thinks of His Word and what He would have us to think of it and how we should apply it to our lives. And as I was preparing this message, I think our great task, right, is to look at the Word of God, to see what it says, and then to look at our lives and to see where it does not line up, and to seek with all of our might to try and be conformed to a biblical view, and to be conformed to bring our lives to a consistent pattern to what God would have us to live. And so from these three passages, what are some of the things that we're taking from this? Anybody want to throw anything out there? So what we're seeing in the Scripture is that this is something that is continually before the people of God. And it's God's plan that we should meditate upon it, right? Day and night. It should always be before us when we lie down, when we wake up, when we just do anything. We should always incorporate every aspect of our lives should be saturated and conformed to the Word of God. And I think this is so very important when we're over here in Luke and we're reading this parable that Jesus is telling us that the importance of hearing these words, because it is impossible for us to obey the words, right, if we're being saturated in things that are other than the Word. And I want to ask this question and pose this. Are there other words out there? Are there other things that would like to take the place of the Word of God? Very interesting you say that. Because right in those three passages that we mentioned, all those things that characterize those, it seems it's very interesting, the whole idea of TV and other things. And we talk about, right, is there another word, right? The Word of God the goal of the Word of God is to take us towards Jesus Christ and to change our hearts. But yet, there are other words that are trying to take us the opposite direction. Yeah, that's right. Right. And that really is a burden of my heart this morning, just to kind of to mention, I don't want to be legalistic and make laws and say that there's things that people have to follow, but right, I want us to, like what we said, look at the Bible, look what God is calling for us, look at this glorious plan that He has for us, and then look at our lives and make sure that it is consistent with the Word of God. And this could, some of these things could be potentially offensive and upsetting to us, but we have to understand that for me, I have to stand before God and answer to Him. And there's I looked this up, according to the New York Times, they estimated that the average American spends 5 hours a day watching TV. And I definitely, believe that 100%. And that's not even counting, all the other alternative, media like Facebook and Twitter and Internet and all these other things that we, as Americans, in the day in which we live, right, that we spend and we give ourselves to these other things. And, right, TV and entertainment in itself, I don't believe that it is inherently evil, and I think it can be termed kind of a neutral activity, something that there are secular stories that can be beautiful and, right, they can glorify God, but they are neutral activities. And using simple logic, I like this example. If there was a child right here, and that child is precious and so very valuable, and then we had a dog over here, and if I was the parent, what if I spent all my time taking care of this dog and neglected this child, right? How immoral and how wrong would that be? But in the very same way, I think what God is calling us to do as we mature as Christians, to find what is more excellent, what is right, put it in the balance, what is worthy of our time, and we need to be very careful and not be deceived. And even these neutral things, even these neutral things, if, for instance, if I'm spending all my time serving this dog and neglecting this child that is created in the image of God and is so much more valuable, that can become very offensive and can be sinful, and we need to be careful of that. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah.
And you can easily fall in one of the others, just like the video games you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Twitter, we got gamers, and all day long, yeah, we have.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also watch that as a child of God and watch stories and stuff. You don't have to venture into that, but you have to be a child of God and believe it's a child of God in order to do the right thing.
Yeah. And I want to make this very clear. This is like just a burden on my heart. And I think individually we're all called to go back and to search the Scriptures and to look at our lives and to make those decisions for ourselves, because we will individually stand before God in His judgment. But I want to definitely address them. And then, so we talked about, you know, entertainment and all of these things that take up our time, neutral activities, but there's also, I think I'd be foolish not to address the evil that is present, right? The flood of filth that is out there. And right, if our ancestors were to watch some of the things that we are exposed to on a daily basis, right, they would be horrified. And there was a study, famous study, you've probably heard this before, done it, Cornell University some years ago, where they took a frog and they dropped him into boiling water and he hopped right out. And then they put another frog into lukewarm water and they slowly turned that jet up and the water slowly became warm and came to a boil, and that frog boiled to death and he died. And that is, I feel like, a perfect analogy to the culture and the way that God works. And if we're not careful, we can be like those frogs. And if there's too much influence from this other word, this word of the world, we can drift. Our hearts can drift from God. And like those passages that we read earlier, we can turn aside from Him. So we need to be very careful and understand that the Word is taking us towards Jesus, and right, these other influences so many times are taking us in an entirely different direction, and we need to be very careful of that. And right, what we're saturating our lives in, that is what we become. And those three passages that we read about the Word of God, they're calling us to be just totally immersed in the Word of God, to be totally saturated, to be all consumed, where it is changing us, it is molding us, it is helping us to become like Jesus Christ, right? That's the great goal of Christianity, to become like Jesus Christ, to look at Him and to be changed from one degree of glory to the next. And I also just feel like I need to speak to this, our dependence, right? This 5 hours a day, this dependence upon all sorts of media is personally terrifying to me. And I believe it's an indictment against our culture. And just a side note, those who God has used mightily in days of old, who brought revival of religion and brought restoration to our nation, they got along just fine without Hollywood and some of the things that we are so dependent upon, right? And I would submit to you that they were full of so much more joy than we were. And I just want us to not be deceived to think that we have to be dependent upon these things, but that potentially God is calling us for greater things. And I feel like much of this entertainment can be many times like junk food, right? It tastes really good, but yet in the end, there's no nutrition, and we will eventually die from it. But yet the Word of God, right, it is nutrition dense. And in being consumed and saturated with that healthy, nutritious food, we will therefore live vibrant lives and abundant lives, being saturated with the Word of God. And I think as we head down this road of sanctification, becoming more like Jesus Christ, becoming more spiritually mature, God is requiring of us and desiring of us to acquire a taste for more excellent things. And I can tell you this for sure, God did not create us to waste our lives, but yet He created us for Himself. And I love what it says in the Psalms that God, Psalm 3, about His holiness, that do you not know, O man, that God has set apart the godly for Himself to be holy. In recap, right, we need to understand the great importance of imitating the Word of God and thinking biblically and imitating Jesus Christ and His example and also that of Paul's and making sure that our lives match up to that. And if we are, living our whole lives for rubbish, and if these meaningless things are keeping us from serving God, and if they are causing us to sin, by all means, God is definitely calling us to cut those things out of our lives in order that we might be saved. Are there any other comments while we're here before we move on? Okay, so as we understand, right, the importance of hearing the Word of God, and as we grow and it becomes precious to us, as it becomes sweeter than the honeycomb, as the Bible tells us, as our love grows more and more for Him, as we have sweet fellowship and communion with the Word of God, and then, for instance, these storms and these trials of life come upon us, right? We will have such strength and power to stand against all the temptation that the devil is going to throw us. And as we read in Luke earlier, right, these storms are going to come, and we need to be grounded upon the rock. And ultimately, right, the final judgment is going to come, whether we like it or not. And the Word of God, right, that is our rock, and that is our foundation, and that is what prepares us to stand against all of the storms that blow against us, that we might have that foundation rooted on the rock. And James is a pretty cool book and is following very closely to these core fundamental teachings of Jesus. And he kind of points to this same idea. Now that we've kind of established this idea of the importance of hearing the Word of God, now I'd like to just close in talking about the importance of doing this Word and putting it into practice and not being deceived. So James chapter 1, verse 22 just adds more information here. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And in verse 26 and following here, it's going to give us an example of how we put this Word into practice, of how we do this. And it says, if anyone thinks that he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And yeah, I think it's interesting. That's a lot of what we've already touched on here at the very end, that like part of true religion is keeping oneself unstained from the world, right? If we are going to have the ability to obey the world, the Word, to lay that foundation upon the rock, there is a great need to be called out from the world and to be holy to Him and to be just saturated completely in the Word of God. And hearing these teachings of Christ, and right, if we back up in Luke, how do we be a doer of the Word? Instead of simply saying, Lord, Lord, and not obeying, how do we be a doer of the Word, right? We hear it. We look at these core teachings of loving our brothers as ourselves and doing to others as we would have them do unto us, and reading the Word of God. And in closing here, this has been convicting to me. And just as we read those three passages and how they are talking about how the Word of God is to be constantly before us, it is to be our great delight and glory and joy, it is to be all-satisfying, it is to just consume us, to be this great obsession and our love. How sad is it when we come to these teachings of Christ, these red-letter teachings, and we say, oh, wow, I completely forgot that Jesus said these things. And right, that's a good indicator that we really need to be in the Word of God and be filled up with all these teachings. And then as we walk along life's way, when we come up with these situations, right, the Word will well up within us, and we will have the ability to make that choice and be obedient and be faithful and glorify Him in everything that we do. And we are out of time. Seems like that went pretty fast. Let's Let's close with prayer, and then we'll have a break before our service. Father, we just thank you for your word. We cannot put a price on it. Forgive us for letting the dust collect upon us. Forgive us, Lord, for putting worthless things ahead of your precious word and not treating it with the reverence and the fear that it deserves. And please, Lord, draw our hearts to your word. Lord, let us delight in it. Let it be sweeter than the honeycomb. And let us find such joy and satisfaction within it, Lord. And help us to, in turn, obey the word and put it into practice and have that foundation grounded on the solid rock, which is the word of God and which is Christ himself, in order that we might stand strong and be obedient and follow your teachings. Dear Lord, bless our time of assembly and bless the message that we will hear in a few minutes. And just watch over us this week. In Jesus we pray. Amen.